Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with New Life series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. This is our 1258th program, and the subject is collective societies. Look, we're in this corona phase, and if we look at how people are, companies that are more collective, societies like China, Korea, mainly to do with the behavior of the population, compared to Western societies where they're, you know, we're not so sure that collective societies are such a bad thing like we were used to thinking. That's what our discussion will be about today. I want to open with the first question. Why, in general, if we look at the world that we live in, why, in general, that in the East, there's societies that are more collective, and in the West, societies that are more individualistic? Why is the world built like this? This is how the world is built. We can't. It has to do with the root of the soul of every nation, of course. But I see, according to what I see with Russians, I grew up there. Until the age of 25, I lived there. I saw that it suited Russians to live in a collective way. And the fact is that this is how they built Israel also. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter, but it's a fact. And also till today, we see that even though everyone is free and can do whatever they want in Eastern Europe, but still, when they go into the European market, they behave more collectively. That's their character, the Slovak, Koreans, also Japanese, really, all the Eastern countries, they're all more inclined to connection. And all the Western countries, already many years ago, I would say thousands of years, they have a different character. Each one has its own place. We see it also in the ancient philosophers. The Eastern sages talked more about acting as one body, and in the Western Greece, they talked about individual liberty, etc. Are these two inclinations two trends in society? Yes, East and West. So in our days, when the corona comes and we Western people look at these collective cultures and we see how they're being obedient, they say, don't go out, nobody's going out, they say, put on a mask, they put on, everything's like a machine. And they're managing to control the obedience is serving them well. They're also willing to accept these rules and hold on to them collectively. But we're always discussing it. Is it harming the privacy of the people or not? I'm not disregarding it, but we're seeing the attitude is completely different. You're not talking about Israel. I'm talking in general about the Western countries, because Israel is a whole different story. It's a third thing. What it's collectivism, and Israel is the worst of both worlds. On the one hand, there's this collectivist that we see ourselves as a nation connected, but it's more like Baal HaSulam says, like nuts in a sack, we feel ourselves that we're just escaping trouble, our collective trouble, on the one hand. On the other hand, we don't want to be like each other because our ego comes after the breakage. So all the good that we once had that served us transformed to bad. Therefore, we can't be in equivalence of form with any nation, not east or west. So here's something special in Israel. Yes, we'll get to that possibly later, but I want to look at the reality between east and west, between the collective approach and the individualistic approach. Are we, the Western culture, can we learn something? Can we adopt something? Can we get used to something from these collective values that will deal better with our life from here on? And if yes, what is that thing? We need to approach the correction, what nature today is demanding of us, in our way. And we can't learn these forms from the East. There is something else altogether. There you can come to the nation and you can do collective death there and they will accept it because it's in their blood. With the Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, there's no problem. It also has to do with Indonesia, India even, etc. But the West, you can't come to them like that. There, everyone is their own world. Look how they live. They live in villages and they live in you know, they're separated from each other, etc. Meaning there's great differences. So the correction that they did for coronavirus in the East and West is different. And there's nothing to compare and there's nothing to take an example from because it's in their nature. It's not like they're better or worse. It's inside in their DNA of all these nations of the East compared to all the nations of the West. Is that the reason why in the Western countries, cultures, we feel this inner rejection from this whole style of collectivism? Really, inside people are disgusted. They're not capable of understanding it. They're not capable of understanding it. How can you take this socialistic ideal to England? It's just, it won't be accepted in any form. But bring it to France in a certain form, turn it around, and it's possible they'll accept it. Each and every nation has its own spin. Let's go back to the Western culture, the Western countries. What do they need to add to improve in their relations between the individual and the collective to be better? Because the pandemic has proved that the way they behave, they're not managing to deal with the pandemic. What do we need to add to the Western culture to be more successful? The Western culture is very rational. And if we would come to them and explain to them the laws of nature, that we're all in the integral global world, the round world, we're in this sphere that's acting on us, and there's high rules to bring us to identification with the general law of nature, that all this is in a way that everyone's connected. We're all in a single system of integral forces, like a network of connection between us. If we would explain this to them in a clear way, they would, and of course, if science, lots of scientists, well-known scientists, then of course we would be able to persuade the nations of the East, of the West, that there's no choice. This is how we have to behave. This is how we have to exist. And then, of course, there would be all kinds of arguments with philosophers, those that always have something to say. But we would still succeed, at least in persuading people, persuade the nations in North America, and Western Europe, that we must learn what it means, the integral world, and how we can arrange ourselves in our time to the integral system. So now you added a third term. If we open the discussion with division of the world to the collective approach against the more individualistic approach, now you said to me, nature that we exist in is an integral system. This term, it's an integral system. It directs us to build a society that's more collective. That's what it sounds like. Yes. So if that's the case, if through nature, if nature's idea is for us to be collective, why throughout history did we develop completely opposite societies? You say it's thousands of years ago. It didn't start yesterday, this inclination to individualism. They developed by the ego, which is opposite to collectivism. And this ego pushed us to individualist development. And we see it from ancient Babylon. There, the ego broke out before that. There was a society. Everyone was included in Babylon. We were all as one nation, one collective. And then what happens? Then the ego started to develop. Abraham, as one of the Kohens, discovered this and explained it to all the Babylonians that here we have a special law that we're growing by nature, and nature is developing an ego in us. Not the good force, but the bad force that divides us. And we have to increase against it a good force, so we'll remain in balance. But I would say there was the first capitalist there, the king. The king of Babylon, he said, no, we'll go develop according to what we feel is good for us right now, that each and every one will develop to everyone on his own lot. Everyone will develop their own work and will make more than others. And the world went along with Nimrod, that king. And those that understood from Abraham that we have to fight against this trend, they went with Abraham. And they made a society where everyone helps the other and all crimes are covered by love. And this is how they built a collective society. So if I go back to the situation today, if I see in the West an individualistic approach, it's far from being perfect, of course. How can we add the element, the integral element that you called it? The West, to add the integral element, it's a problem. It's only through education. What has to be added? What has to be added into a Western person that he doesn't understand? He doesn't understand that it's good, that what's good? That's good to be connected together. Like in China, like in a collective that he discussed him, why? It looks horrible to him. You said to me before, yeah, we're extreme, but these are, you said if it's a collective death, they'll obey. No, not to that extent, but they have China and Japan and all those countries. They have a collectivism feeling. It's natural. The ego won't develop in them. Let's put it like this. They're not from Babylon. What's happening in the West? In the West and in general, from Babylon, the egoistic idea developed. So the egoistic idea developed naturally, and you're saying it's not enough, we need to add the integral. Yes, they spoke about it, that all the nations developed from Babylon, those went that way, and how they covered part of the earth. So let's advance a bit. Let's leave the collectivist approach and let's leave the individualistic approach and let's talk about the third one, the integral approach. It's from the word integration. What do we integrate between individualistic people where everyone has a huge ego? Yes. So what connects them? What causes this integration? The integration comes from each and everyone being different from the other, but each and everyone understanding that he has to rise above his nature and connect with others. Why? For the sake of the future, for the sake of the good future, because this is the law of nature, that this is how we'll connect. Let's define, what's the law of nature exactly? That the individuals must leave their privacy for the sake of the society. That sounds horrible. No. That if I feel the good of the society and the good of the individual, then of course the good of the society is more important than the good of the individual. Why? Because it matches the general law of reality. That we all exist in one reality, in one network. Therefore, the collective is always more important than the individual. How much it sounds opposite to what we say in the West. In business, there's a term called win-win, where both sides profit. They say, if you do business where there's win-win, it will happen because both of us profit. Is there really a conflict between the individual and society, or we can create a situation where it's win-win, that the society benefits from and each individual benefits from? Of course we can. What is it dependent on? It's dependent on the general attitude of reality, that we're always in a dynamic reality, changing reality. The world is growing, developing, and the conditions are changing in which we exist. Therefore, we've reached throughout history, meaning the forces activating on reality, on society, that are changing more and more. And they have brought us to a situation where today, in order to match ourselves to the forces that are developing us, we need to be connected. Connected. Does it lean on the same integration term you said before? Yes, it's above our individualism. We have to leave what's good for the individual and prefer what's good for the whole. Now I'm getting a picture of two huge buildings. I used to work in the Israeli buildings when there were two of them. They were almost to the sky. It seems in the West, every person has an ego up to the sky. Now, when you say the forces of nature are operating on us and advancing us to more developed situations, and you're talking about integration, how do you take two individuals with ego up to the sky and create integration? What's the bridge? Where's this glue? You're not expecting them to all of a sudden their ego to disappear and they'll become zero. I'm assuming that's not what you're talking about. Precisely by the ego, they will be able to connect. What is this glue? What is the force to create the correct integration between individuals when their ego is so high? Even though our individualism is very high and we really hate each other, we don't agree on things. Each one is against the other at all these levels of these two high buildings, but above the two buildings, there's a law that if we don't connect, this is where you'll be buried. What law is that? The law of connection. Does it have to do with the integration of nature, the integralness of nature? Yes. These two buildings and all these floors, let's say in each building there's 100 floors. It's the egoistic force in each of us that's developed up till now. And we have to, at the last floor, find a principle where we connect them together. Where in a person's heart and mind in the Western world, where he's very strong, individualist, he's special, where does he have preparation for this high connection? Yes, because all together we're coming to a state where we have no choice. That through connection between all, love will cover all transgressions, 100 crimes and above them love. Precisely in this way, we reach a state where we correct everything. Can we say that it's a combination between the Western approach that treasured the individual and the East that was more inclined to collectivism? Is the integral approach a combination of these two concepts? Yes. Yes. So explain it to me. What does it combine? What does it take from there and what does it take from there? I don't think we need to see what we take from each. We simply need to rise above the ego of each of us, because also in the Eastern way, we have an ego that works. Therefore, we don't have anything there that's nicer than the Western. It's just the attitude. The attitude is slightly different according to the root of the soul between East and West, nothing more. So actually, there's nobody in the Western world that can look at the Eastern and try to learn something from there. He has to develop something new in himself, of course, completely something of his own. The opposite, not learn from one another, because you can't change the root of your soul. Okay, I get it. That's good. Everyone has his own, and he has to develop himself to the next level. That's what you said. So a person in the West who until now lived with the thought of, you know, privacy, when he thinks about a society, integral society, what will happen to his freedom? What will happen? It's a new implementation of freedom. I'm really curious. How will it be implemented? The fact that I realize myself in connection with others, by connecting together with them and buying forces from them and giving them my forces, together we're advancing to a single goal. And then the individualism of each and every one isn't erased. The opposite. It becomes more pronounced. It stands out. It's more special because we're using the forces of society. How can I buy forces from others, characteristics that they have that I don't have, connect to the same goal? And you'll see. You'll see how you can use them. You're using them to reach connection. You're using them to see your flaws that come to you, that are being awakened in you, to reach connection. And everything you take from society. In the West, I didn't do a survey, but I'm sure that if you take 3 people, each one will have his own goal in life. Yes, freedom, everyone will have his own goal. You don't say to me and I won't say to you, etc. When you say that we can acquire forces from others, you said it depends on all of us having this upper purpose. How can we create this upper purpose that will suit all the Western people in the West? How can we have this general roof? One goal, purpose can be truly one for everyone together, is to reach the law of nature, the principle of nature, to a state where we understand and feel humanity and the world that we live in as one. That's something that covers all our lacking and knowledge, understanding, feeling, consciousness, everything. Suddenly we discover before us a world that's round, new, amazing, the balancing of good and bad forces, and the world is perfect. First step, it can be even in our thoughts, for the individual in the West to advance toward this amazing place. Give me one thought. The West is a very special thing. There, no one can say to the other person what he has to do. I remember my brother, he told me that tomorrow he's probably going to leave his work. He lives partially in Canada, partially in the States. Okay, in the West. And then I asked him, how are you leaving? He said, tomorrow morning, I'm telling the owner where I work that I'm leaving this work. And what is he? He can't even say one word to me. If I want to leave my work, I can. I said to him after, what did he say? He said, good luck. And that's it. That's how it is. One can't say anything to the other. So let's take these people that have that attitude and give them a thread of thought that will take them to the more advanced integral thought. What's the first thought? The integral world is being revealed. Our world is being revealed today as the integral world. And we're all connected to everyone, and we're all dependent on everyone. And we have no choice but to we ourselves create the correct network of connection between us, integral, that connects us, connects between everyone. Otherwise, we'll get into a great crisis from lack of the correct connection. There's no choice. And we need to explain this to everyone. They may not accept it in the East and West right away, because it doesn't exactly suit the East either. Rav Leitman, we would be happy to speak, but the time was up a few minutes ago. Thank you very much. In the meantime, good luck to you. Thank you for being with us. New Life Series, Learning to Live Well. All the best.